I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, episode 26, Rooted in Christ. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with a principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag, take time for family, activity, suggestion, or a dinner conversation starter. Thanks to all those who have left me a 5-star review on Apple iTunes. It helps to get my podcast to pop up when people search for Come Follow Me or Church Podcasts, you know, just making it easier for other people to find me. So thank you. If you haven't already and you listen on iTunes, simply scroll down on your device and hit those 5 stars. I'd really appreciate it. If you listen on my blog, that is awesome too. Simply share it on your favorite social media app, and that will help get the word out. I appreciate all of your support. I noticed the church now has the new Come Follow Me for next year on their website. Yay! If you haven't heard, we are reading the Book of Mormon next year. I'm super excited for that. I've got a couple ideas for a new free download that goes along with next year's curriculum. I'll keep you posted as soon as I figure that out, and I'm all ready for you to download. I did finish and just posted today on my blog your ultimate Come Follow Me resource guide. It is a comprehensive guide to all the many wonderful Come Follow Me resources out there to help you further your study of the gospel. I've got links to videos, podcasts, apps, websites, and so forth. And I was sure to list links to all the church's resources right at the top for easy access, along with some of my all-time favorite resources and many more. I hope you'll check it out, and I hope it helps you in your personal and family study of the scriptures and in preparing for your lessons at church. There's just so many great things out there, and I just wanted to make it simple and easy for all of us to find and to use. And thanks again to you guys for choosing Teach Me to Walk the Light podcast as one of your resources that you go to. That means a lot to me. To get this resource guide along with the show notes for today's episode, you simply just go to melanieslibrary.com, M-E-L-A-N-I-E-S, library.com. All right, on to today's topic. Today's topic is rooted in Christ. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for October 14th through the 20th. I grew up in Missouri, and this last summer I was able to take my husband and kids and go spend time with my family in Missouri. I've got siblings and my parents are still there, and we had a great time. We really enjoyed staying with my sister and her family, especially with her daughter, Macy. I mean, just last night as we're sitting around the dinner table, we're all telling fun Macy stories, and we are missing Macy. So shout out to Macy if you are listening. She is awesome. And she also has Down syndrome. Anyone who has had the privilege of knowing someone with Down syndrome knows how special they are. They are amazing. And one of the things we've come to love most about Macy this past summer was her honesty. She was always very blunt and honest, and we love her for that. My family and I were also good friends with a family in our ward who their oldest has Down syndrome, and his name is Jay Will. He is about 9 years old, And he is also super amazing. And we just love J. Will. We think the world of him and his family. J. Will's dad gave a powerful analogy one time that I will never forget. He said, imagine that my son J. Will and I are at the beach. Imagine that we are walking out into the waves on a San Diego beach, a short distance away from each other. Now the waves are coming in and they are strong. Strong enough to knock J. Will down and push him under. I mean, they would easily be strong enough to hold him down, causing him to drown if he were not rescued. They don't, however, knock me down. The wave doesn't hit J. Will any harder than it hits me. It's that my power to endure the effects of the wave is greater than J. Will's. Now, we can compare this analogy to the power and blessings that come from standing firm in the gospel, from making righteous choices and strengthening our testimonies. Because as we do that, we become rooted in Christ. We become strong and immovable. And when the waves or storms of life try and push us down, we are strong enough to stay standing. In Colossians 1:23, we are taught that we should continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And Elder Neil A. Maxwell told us how important it is that we are grounded in the gospel in the last days when he said, quote, events and circumstances in the last days make it imperative for us as members of the church to become more grounded, rooted, established, and settled. Jesus said to his disciples, settle this in your hearts that ye will do the things which I shall teach and command you. If not so settled, the turbulence will be severe. If settled, we will not be tossed to and fro, whether by rumors, false doctrines, or by the behavioral and intellectual fashions of the world. Unquote. You know, there was a time in my life that I am so thankful that I was rooted in the gospel. Back in 2014, my husband unexpectedly lost his job. He had been a project manager for a civil engineering company. Well, after almost 6 months of unemployment, my husband did gain employment at the junior college here in town, working with grants and contracts. Now, this was a wonderful blessing in our lives, and we were oh so grateful. The only downside was this job had an end date. My husband's employment with the college was on a contract basis, and it would be up in just 3 years. Now, luckily, before that 3 years was up, the college renewed my husband's contract for one more year with the possibility that it might renew again for another 6. Long story short, not knowing what the future held for us, about 9 months before my husband's contract was officially up that fourth and final year, he began applying for jobs. Any job within his project management field, didn't matter where, we were tired of having a job with an end date. We just wanted a job with more security. Well, my husband, he applied, and then he applied some more, and then he applied some more, and he went from interview to interview to interview. And many times we'd get our hopes up thinking, yeah, this is it. We're finally getting a job. But then he didn't get it, and we could never figure out why. Well, 3 weeks before my husband would officially be jobless again, with no new job in sight, no contract renewal with the college in sight, a friend of mine was asking me about the job situation. And believe it or not, I was very calm. I mean, I calmly explained to her what was going on, and I knew that no matter what, it was going to be okay. I knew something was going to work out. Now, let me just say, I'm sure my children will attest to you that calm is not my middle name. Emotional is more like it. So for me to be so calm and not to instantly be crying and going, oh my gosh, I don't know what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. This being calm was all new for me. In fact, my friend even commented how impressed she was with my calmness and how if it was happening to her, she was sure she would be freaking out. And that's when it hit me that she was right. Up until that point, I hadn't even thought about the calmness and the peace that I had been feeling over the whole situation until she said something to me. And it made me stop and think, holy cow, this is so cool. I'm honestly not worried. That very day, I expressed my overwhelming gratitude to my Father in Heaven for lifting that burden from my shoulders and giving me the peace and surety that I needed at that time. And my husband, he did get a new job, and he started just 1 week before his job at the college was up. He got on at the mine here managing contracts, being something he had learned to do while working at the college. And he loves his job. He loves what he does and who he works with, and everything has worked out perfectly. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. And I know that the burden was lifted off of my shoulders because my husband and I were doing all that we could to follow the Savior. And I trusted him. The Lord had been there before in our time of need, and I knew that he would be there again. Peace in the face of difficulty is like the quote-unquote reward, as I like to call it, for holding on to the hope and faith of the gospel. It is the reward or the effect from rooting yourself in Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul teaches us what else we can do to stay rooted in Christ and to experience that peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So here's something else we can do, basically two actually. First one is to pray, and the second one is to show gratitude, which makes sense. I mean, praying draws us closer to God, which builds our testimony, as does showing gratitude. When we pause and we think about all the many tender mercies God has given us that day or that week, it strengthens our testimony. Now, there's also a great quote that I love that goes along with this about prayer and the peace we can feel is by Elder Richard G. Scott when he said, quote, "Humble, trusting prayer brings consolation, solace, comfort, direction, and peace the unworthy can never know," unquote. And then the third thing Paul teaches us that we should do to be rooted in Christ and to have peace, and that is to think positive. In Philippians 4, verse 8, it reads, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I love that. How important it is to think positive, to remember all the good things, for God is good and all good things come from Him. Why wouldn't we want to think all good things and be lifted and strengthened through our good thoughts? When I have tried to explain the calmness and peace that I felt as my husband was getting very close to not having a job again, I have found it hard to put into words. But then I came across this story that I think helps explain it, and it's called The Real Meaning of Peace, and it goes like this. There once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. The contest stirred the imagination of artists everywhere. Many artists wanted a chance at winning the prize. Paintings from far and wide began to arrive. The king looked at all the pictures, uncovering one peaceful scene after another as the onlookers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew as only two pictures remained veiled. As the king pulled the cover over one, a hush fell over the crowd. It was a picture of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror of peaceful, towering mountains all around it. Overhead was a beautiful blue sky with fluffy white clouds. along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. All who saw this picture thought it was the perfect picture of peace. Surely this was the winner. Well, the king uncovered the last painting, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? This picture had mountains like the previous painting, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and which lightning played, and down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall, and the crowd could almost feel its cold and penetrating spray. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw a little bird had built a nest on a branch of a tree. A tree that reached out in the direction of the tumultuous waterfall. Yet there in the midst of the rush of angry water, undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. The king chose the last picture. For me, that is a great analogy as to what true peace is. It is to feel calm and at peace while surrounded by chaos and heartache and uncertainty and all the loud noise of the world. That is the peace I felt, to feel at peace when all of that was going around me. Surely you've come to realize, as I have, that life will never be 100% perfect or void of trials and tribulations, because that isn't the plan. The Lord's plan is for us to come to earth and to be tried and tested. But along with that plan, God has also made a way for us to find everlasting peace in the midst of it all, a peace that doesn't come from the outside, but a peace that comes from within. As we look to Jesus Christ in the midst of life storms and a world full of turmoil, we can be undisturbed in our surroundings. We can be in perfect peace. Another example of having peace in the face of tribulation was Joseph Smith. On his way to Carthage jail, although he had been arrested and acquitted 37 times, he knew this time he would not return. Joseph Smith said, quote, "I am going like a lamb to the slaughter, but I am calm as a summer's morning," unquote. Joseph Smith's faith and testimony were rooted in Christ, and being rooted in Christ gave him the peace that he had during one of his most trying moments of his life. When we are rooted in Christ, we will feel that peace as well. It is a true and wonderful thing. And I love how Paul describes it. It is a peace that passeth all understanding. And that I can testify to be true. I don't think anyone can truly understand it until they have experienced it themselves. And you know, we just had our primary program at church, and one of the songs the children sang was Peace in Christ, and it was amazing. I wish I had a recording of it. I do want to end today, though, by playing a piece of the song for you that's on the church's website. It was the 2018 mutual theme.
Tear-filled eyes when we live the way He
May we each strive to do all that we can to be grounded, rooted, established, and settled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we do, we will be immovable as the storms of life hit. Not only will we be immovable, but we will feel peace, a peace that passeth all understanding. I testify of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a word from one of my affiliates. My affiliates provide the means to keeping my blog and podcast up and running, so I am grateful to them and to you. If you love to read books, you don't want to miss out on Deseret Bookshelf Plus. It is Deseret's app that has all of your favorite church books that you can now access on your device. Or what I love and use most is their numerous selection of audiobooks. Your first 30 days are free when you sign up, and you simply go to melanieslibrary.com/shop. Now on to the family home evening suggestion. But first, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use family home evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast. Simply go to melanieslibrary.com/teachme26 to sign up. Okay, for the suggested song, Peace in Christ, of course, and I will link to the video. For the scripture, start out by showing a picture of a tree. There's one in the Come Follow Me manual. And read the following two scriptures, Colossians 1:23 and Colossians 2:7, and ask, what does it mean to be grounded or rooted in Christ? Then show one of the church's videos of the whirlwind. I'll have a link to it. And when you're done, ask, referring to the video, when he was rooted in Christ, even though everything was whirling around him, how was he feeling, do you think? And then be sure you or someone mentions peace. And then for an activity, draw a picture of what peace means to them. And then read the story, the real meaning of peace, with the picture of the bird. And explain how when we are rooted in Christ, we can feel calm and peaceful inside as we endure life's trials. And then read Philippians 4:7, where Paul describes peace as a peace that passeth all understanding. And talk about how, you know, when you think of being in the middle of a storm, the last thing you think of is having peace. And it just doesn't make sense. Yet that is exactly what we will feel. Even in the middle of the storms of life, you can have peace when you are rooted in Christ. And ask, what are some things we can do to be rooted in Christ? And be sure and include prayer and gratitude and positive thinking. You can share the verses in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. And then end by asking how we can help each other be rooted in Christ. And bear your testimony and share any personal experiences that you might have. All right, on to the teaching tip. Today's teaching tip comes from a church article entitled Making Ministering Joyful. And I couldn't agree more when it said, quote, sometimes our search for happiness in this life can seem like running on a treadmill. We run and run and still feel like we haven't gotten anywhere. For some, the thought of ministering to others simply feels like adding more to do, unquote. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, let's be honest, life is so busy and overwhelming. My friends have heard me say many times how I often feel like I'm barely keeping my head above water and I'm just treading water. Many times feeling like I'm not getting anywhere, I'm just surviving. Do you ever feel that way? Well, it's time we change our way of thinking. If we were to pray for a new perspective on life and on ministering, I believe the Lord would tell us that men are that they might have joy. And in order to have joy, something we don't get running on a treadmill or treading water, is to do as the Savior did, and that's ministering to others. Ministering to others is an essential part of bringing joy to our lives. In the article, it also says how Elder Uchtdorf told about a single mother who got chickenpox, and then her children got sick too. The normally spotless house became cluttered and messy, dishes and laundry piled up. And in a moment when she felt completely overwhelmed, Relief Society sisters knocked on her door. They didn't say, "Let us know if we can help." When they saw the situation, they sprang into action. They cleared up the chaos, brought light and clarity into the home, and called a friend to bring over some much-needed groceries. When they at last finished their work and said their goodbyes, they left that young mother in tears. Tears of gratitude and love. Both the givers and the receiver felt the warmth of joy. Now that's happiness. Let us each strive to change our perspective on ministering. Look at it as a means of finding joy in our crazy, hectic lives, not as another item on our to-do list. All right, last but not least, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. How many of you remember the little tangent I went off on in the last episode when I heard the statistic of how only 20% of families sit down together for dinner? And with that tangent, I challenged each of us to step it up. And to back my challenge and hopefully motivate each of us to do better, I looked up a few scientifically proven reasons why we should be eating together with our families. And this is what I found. There's 7 of them. 1, family dinners mean better family relationships. For younger children, routine family meals can provide a sense of security and a feeling of belonging in the family. And in a recent Columbia University study, 71% of teenagers said they consider talking, catching up, and spending time with family members as the best part of family dinners. 2, family meals lead to healthier food choices. A survey found that the 9 to 14-year-olds who ate dinner with their families most frequently consumed more fruits and vegetables and less soda and fried foods. 3, eating as a family leads to better grades. Studies have proven that there's a significant link between family dinners and academic performance. A report by CASA found that teens who have between 5 and 7 family dinners per week were twice as likely to report receiving mostly A's and B's in school, compared to those teens who have fewer than 3 family dinners per week. 4, family dinners lead to greater happiness. Research examining 5,000 teenagers have shown that when children eat with their parents regularly, they are more likely to be emotionally strong and have better mental health. Teens who ate regular family meals were also more likely to be adjusted, have good manners, and communication skills. This effect is not restricted to the children. Mothers who ate with their families often were also found to be happier and less stressed as compared to mothers who did not. Ooh, I like the sound of that. And 5, homemade meals promote portion control. The average restaurant meal has as much as 60% more calories than a homemade meal. Combine the fact that portions served in restaurants are continuing to expand. 6, family dinners relieve stress. In 2008, researchers at BYU conducted a study of IBM employees and found that sitting down to a family meal helped working moms reduce the tension and strain from long hours at the office. And last one, 7, eating at home saves money. Ooh, we could all use that, right? Save some money. According to a cost comparison of home cooking versus restaurant-delivered meals, on average, you can save around $16 per meal by cooking at home. So let's do this, guys. Your kids are only young once. This is the only time you've got to build a relationship with them before they move away from home. Take advantage of it. And that is all for today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review on iTunes. Have yourself an awesome week, and I will talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.